All the other pastors were too expensive, so they had me come up and teach tonight's lesson. My name's Tyler. Merry Christmas Eve. Yeah. I'm the worship leader here, and tonight it is my great joy to make much of Jesus. My wife asked me today, are you going to cry in today's lesson? Yes. I'm not a preacher, I'm not a trained theologian, but I am a husband and a father and a liturgist and a musician and craftsman, and I have no problem creatively telling the good news of Christ. It's just not hard for me. It shouldn't be, right, when we think of what he's done. Here's tonight's challenge, though. This is, I think, one of the problems, but it's one that I'll point out. We've become too comfortable with this story. We hear it once a year, and I know that one. I have this written, if you'll put it up on the screen, I have this written on the wall of my workshop. It says, notice new things about the things you think you know. That's our hurdle tonight. Baby Jesus, Mother Mary, Joseph, we don't know what he did. The animals in the stable, and I've heard that. We have a habit of desperately wanting to know everything that everyone says all the time. Yeah, I know. I've heard that. Yeah. I already knew that. So maybe tonight, we ask the Lord to stir us up. Did you know that you can ask the Lord for that?
Yes.
You can. Kids, hi. Did you know that you can ask God to stir up your heart for an affection for your parents? Adults, do you know that friend that takes everything out of you? I hope it's not me. But do you know in your life when you have what Bilbo Baggins said, David's going to be so proud of me for quoting Lord of the Rings. When he's speaking to Gandalf and he says, I feel thin, sort of stretched, like butter scraped over too much bread. Did you know that you can ask the Lord to stir up your heart's affection for your brother? Okay, that's the hurdle. So if you're here tonight and you're moderately or completely unfamiliar with the story of the Nativity, cool. I'm kind of jealous that you get to hear this story unpacked tonight. Listen well. I'm glad you're here. So what if we ask the Lord tonight, Father, through your Spirit, breathe your truth into us all afresh tonight. What if we ask, stir up our hearts and our souls and our minds and our strength tonight into a new affection for you. So we can do this. I'm establishing that we can do this. Some of us know this. So let's do this in prayer. But before we go into corporate prayer, I want to do something that you may not know how to do, and that's how to pray in public. I'm going to pray out loud, and you're not. So what does this mean? This means that when I say, Father, stir up in my heart an affection for you, say, yes, stir up our hearts. When I say, meet with us tonight, say in your hearts, oh, meet with us tonight. That's corporate prayer. Okay? So I'm going to pray, and you're going to pray with me. Father, we bow before you, King of the universe, who has come, who has left his Spirit, and we wait your turn. The world is broken and we need you. Come and make it all new again. But until then, we sing praises. We share of your good news. And we lean on you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Tonight's somewhat simple. I'm going to be maybe like around 35 minutes. This is called accountability, which is like 45 minutes shorter than David and Brad. So it's going to feel fast compared to these guys. But they also know more, so they have more to say. I have less to say, which means I get to go shorter. We're going to read through the text, and I'm just going to point out some things to it that I think are cool. So I'm going to read. I don't want them, the things aren't going to be on the screen. There's going to be images on the screen. I took these photos in Israel in 2019, and I think that they might stir up our minds, our interest into this story, maybe in a fresh way. I hope. That's what I hope. So I'm just going to read this story and point these things out because they're cool. Luke 2. In those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This was the first registration that Quirinius was governor of Syria. And then all went to be registered, each to his own town. And Joseph went up from Galilee, from the town of Nazareth to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem. We'll talk about that in a second. Because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed, who was with child. And while they were there, the time came for her to give birth. And she gave birth. Mamas, do you remember this? Maybe it was like real recent. Some of the cries sound like brand new cries. Maybe you have old kids that are gone and out of the house. Do you remember the joy and the fear? Dads, do you remember kind of a similar emotion of like, yay, what's happening? Put yourself there. This is what Mary's feeling. This is what Joseph is feeling. She gave birth to the firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger. A manger, this is interesting. A manger is interesting because it's just a food trough. There's like nothing special about it. It's just in every area and all the barns, and there's nothing there. Just a thing that you put food in that animals came to. So wouldn't it be cool if this is what we're supposed to see? So Bethlehem, I don't speak Hebrew. I looked it up. It's Bethlehem. Okay, so kids, look here. Kids, go like this. I want everyone to participate, children. Go. Good. This is what you say when you say Bethlehem. Try that. Bethlehem. It means house of bread. House of bread. Okay? Food trough. Okay, you with me? 10 chapters later, Jesus says, "This is my body which is given for you," and he breaks bread. John 6:32 says this. This is connection. I'm making this connection. Jesus then said to them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, it was not Moses who gave you the bread from heaven, the manna, we know this, bread from heaven, but my Father gives you the true bread from heaven." Okay. For the bread of God, Jesus is saying, is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. I don't want to pick on the disciples too much because we would just probably do the same thing. We're all kind of slow. But he said to them, "Sir, give us this bread." Like, it must be delicious. Someone right before the service gave me a loaf of bread, which I thought was beautiful. It's right there on the front row. You can't have it. It's homemade. It's not from the store. Give us this bread, always. I mean, they're thinking, is this a new kind of magical bread that like we don't have to cook anymore? We just eat it and then we don't have to eat anymore? This is so cool. Give us some of this bread. Jesus said to them, what? "I am the bread of life, and whoever comes to me shall not hunger." What on earth is the context of this strange thing to say? Does anybody know the context of this? John 6? Maybe you're whispering it to yourself out of fear. The feeding of the 5,000. Hey, lots of bread. From this perspective that he's talking to the disciples, it was the day before this. This beautiful image of Jesus taking nothing or something of little consequence, a couple loaves, taking something small and he's making it abundant. This is what he does. This is a theme in Scripture. God did that with Zacchaeus. I love Zacchaeus, this short, hated tax collector. God did that with Joseph, a teenager thrown into a pit by his brothers. God did that with Moses, a baby floating alone in a river. God did that with David, a small shepherd. God did that with Mary, another teenager. There's a lot of teenagers in Scripture. And in today's context, God did that with his son. He laid the food in the trough in the house of bread. Bethlehem. And in the same region, there were shepherds out in the field keeping watch over their flock by night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with great fear, obviously. And the angel, one angel, said to them, why do you think the angel said, fear not? There was an angel who was talking. Then he says, this angel, fear not, for behold, listen to this. I bring you good news of great joy. Richmond talked about this morning, that will be for who? All the Jews. All the other people that aren't a particular race. No. Good news of great joy for all the people. He is not ours. For unto you is born this day in the city of David, a Savior who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger. And suddenly, maybe they should said, fear not again. Because there was one angel and now there's multitudes, which is many. There was an angel, a multitude of heavenly host, praising God. We're going to talk about this word, praising God and saying. This praising God, we've talked about this before. I have talked about it when we sing. There's all these cool Hebrew words for praise, and they mean different things. Like in our English translations, we read them, and it just says praise, praise, praise. But sometimes it's a kind of praise that you do with an instrument. Sometimes it's a praise that you do without instruments. You're just your voices. There's a kind of praise that you get literally on your face. You lie on the ground. There's a type of praise that's this like, I'm recognizing my need for you, but most of them are singing. If you're a believer and you follow after Jesus, this might bother you, but you're to sing. Have you seen the meme with Michael Scott from The Office? And it's like, and it picks on all the denominations of people, and it's just him like this, dead-faced, and it says like, reformers singing. Have you seen this? Like Baptist singing, Methodist singing. Like, no. It's all over Scripture, people singing. So learn how to sing. Learn how to sing when you're alone. Learn how to sing in the car. And for heaven's sake, maybe a little bit for my sake too, sing here. Yeah. Heavenly host, praising God. Another theme throughout Scripture, and saying, they were literally laying out, they were explaining this situation. I wish we had those words, but we don't have those words, but they must have been something to hear. And this is what they said, glory to God in the highest. This word glory is doxa, where we get the word doxology from. It's praise, another more praising. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace among those with whom he is pleased. That's you. He approves of you. He's pleased of you. If you're his. When the angels went away from them into heaven, what a sight that must have been. The Jewish shepherds, they said to one another. In Matthew, it talks about the Magi. It says this, the wise men. There's different people say who these people are. There's different ideas. Some say they were Gentiles for sure, but so they might have been like magicians, they might have been like soothsayers or like spell givers, they might have been like completely pagan, we don't know. But you have these two accounts laying out a response from the Jews, the shepherds, the like low class, completely low class. And then you have this Matthew's account of talking about the Gentiles responding that were kind of like upper echelon. So you have these two groups, Jews, Gentiles, low class, high class, coming together. This is not to be understated. Can you imagine what they actually said when the shepherds said to one another after the angels left? Surely it was more than, let us go to Bethlehem. I mean, that's what it says. But surely it was like, it's probably some standing around, no one talking. Let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us. Do you want to see what the Lord has made known to us? And they went with haste, I bet, and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. And when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told to them concerning this child. Everybody's just recounting, like, the angels came, and then they were like, what? And then I was like, what? And all who heard it marveled, wondered at what the shepherds told them. And I've written like short stories and plays and have been in like directed theater and like done all this kind of stuff. So I think this way, and I think of this moment of being like, do you know in a TV show when the actor or actress looks at looks into the camera, breaks the fourth wall and looks into the camera and like winks at the audience, like, do you see what I see? I imagine this is Mary at this moment because she looks into the camera and winks, and it says, and Mary treasured all these things in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God again with the singing and all they had heard and seen as it had been told them. And at the end of 8 days, when he was circumcised, he was called Jesus. I encourage you, I'm not the authority. Like, no one who teaches from this wooden and steel podium is the authority. Go read. Go read the word and ask the Lord to teach you. And when you run into something you don't understand, when, ask someone. Preferably who knows. And if they don't, then the two of you go and find someone who doesn't know. And maybe the three of you are like, I don't know, maybe we go ask someone else who knows until you find it. It is a treasure. It's gold in the ground. Go do a deep dive on the name of Jesus. Because it's not just like Tyler. It's his identity. It's not just a name. It's who he is and what he does, where he goes and who he's with. Yeshua, Joshua, where we get this name from. Jesus of Nazareth, when he's standing before all the fancy people of the government, the religious leaders, and he says, is this Jesus of Nazareth? Because a lot of people were named Jesus. It was just a super common name, Joshua, Yeshua. It's like, I just want to make sure this is the one we're talking about here. Go do a deep dive on his name. It's cool. The name given by the angel before he was conceived in the womb. Matthew introduces this name, Emmanuel. We don't see it here in Luke, but it's an Isaiah callback to prophecy, Emmanuel, which means God with us. We just sang it. Verse 22, he says, when the time came for the purification, according to the law, Jesus was about 40 days old at this point, the law of Moses, they brought him up to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord, as it is written in the law of the Lord, every male who first opens the womb shall be called holy to the Lord. This is common. And to offer a sacrifice according to what it is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. Now there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. Andrew, who played the piano so beautifully, his son, he and Fabia's son's name is Simeon, named after this man. Simeon, this guy. There's a couple of these guys and girls in scripture who get it way before anyone else does, and maybe before you and I do. It was a righteous and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel. I'm waiting for this too. And the Holy Spirit was upon him. I want that. And it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit at some point, we don't know, that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came in the Spirit. He was moved. Like, I don't know what he was doing. He was somewhere working or somewhere hanging out. And he was just like, I need to go to the temple. Be careful, full of care, to listen to the moving of the Spirit. It's possible that he could have just been so angry that day or so irritated or so distracted that he didn't get to see it. He came in the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to him to do for him according to the custom of the law, he, Simeon, took him up in his arms and blessed God. Listen to what Matthew Henry is, a biblical commentary, and he says this about this moment. He, Simeon, bids farewell to this world. How poor does this world look to one that has Christ in his arms and salvation in his view. See here how comfortable is the death of a good man. My father died last year, last summer. It's interesting. We like to know what people's last words were. They're interesting to us for some reason. Maybe because we think they're more meaningful. It's like if you only have a couple words left to say, surely you're not going to say something stupid. But my dad's last words were, and we have a number of interpretations of it. All of them are cool. It doesn't matter. He said, hurry. He could have just been calling my mom because he knew it was coming. I like that, but my imaginative brain likes to think that he saw the Lord. He said, hurry. You could have, in that moment, gone to my dad and said, look, we just discovered a new cancer treatment, and you can be healed. Hey, look, Phil, it's my dad's name. Here's a billion, trillion, gazillion, bajillion dollars. Kids, that's a real number. And my dad would have laughed. Nothing could have pulled him back. Hurry. Simeon was so ready when he held 40-day-old Jesus in his arms. And this is what Simeon says. Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation that you have prepared in the presence of all peoples, all, a light for revelation, a light for uncovering to the Gentiles. Again, with every nation, for glory to your people, Israel. And maybe he just like walked home and died, I don't know. But he died happy. And his father and his mother, Mary and Joseph, marveled at what was said about him, Jesus. And Simeon blessed them, and he said to Mary, his mother, behold, this child is appointed for the fall and rising of many in Israel and for a sign that is opposed. And a sword will pierce through your own soul also, so that thoughts from many hearts may be revealed. How ahead of his time was Simeon. Three takeaways from this outrageously rich, deep, bottomless, glorious story. Yield like Mary, create like Jesus, and believe like Simeon. Yield like Mary is kind of easy. We're I don't know who we is, okay? I'm not saying C3, I'm just saying we. I don't just fill in whoever we is. We're so afraid of being Catholic that we don't talk about Mary. She's awesome. I mean, we sing some songs about her that we're okay with that. But a hero, straight up Bible hero, and at every single turn, it seems, she yielded her life to the Spirit. Go do a study on her life. It'll change yours. What she collaborated on God, and I do believe this, what she collaborated on God with will last forever. Yeah. And the beautiful thing is, it's a testimony to us, a call that we can do the same. You can partner with God and bring Jesus to earth in your work. I don't care what you do. Which brings us to the next takeaway. Create like Jesus. I could write a dozen sermons on this. I'm not a preacher, so I don't know if they're what they're called, lessons. I think whatever we call them, talks. This is a Christmas TED Talk. However you want to view it. Create like Jesus. I could write a dozen TED Talks on this subject alone. Jesus created everything. We are made in his image. So create like Jesus. As we just witnessed, Jesus, deeply creative in how he came to love us. Do you see this? It was so unusual. He could have come with trumpets and swords. And I mean, it's what they kind of wanted him to do, the Jews. They were like, come relieve us of this terrible burden. Free us. And he could have just wiped them all out, A-bomb style, just crushed everyone. Yay. But he came in a food trough, in a borrowed hole, to a teenage woman in a like kind of a bummer of a town and kind of a bummer of a country. He came so creatively. And he calls us to do the same. So I wrestle with this word, creativity, because it seems as though people hear creativity and they think like painting. Like, I'm not a painter. I can't do sculptures. I can't write songs. I'm not creative. So I'm trying to find a different word, and I think that word is imagination. Use your imagination. Love God with your imagination. Love your neighbor with an imagination. Jesus came to usher in or to reintroduce us to Eden, the should be, right in the face of the is. We live with that every day, that he is here but not yet. The should be in the face of the is. So when you practice what you were made to be, Eden encroaches the darkness. We bring it here now, today, with your family, with your weird neighbor, homemakers in the room. When you teach your kids or make a meal or clean the house or decorate your living room, Eden encroaches the darkness. Engineers, when you design a better material or improve a system, Eden overwhelms the darkness and God is glorified. Artists in the room, when you sing or paint or write, you usher in the kingdom. Managers, business owners, when you choose goodness over gains, when you fight for truth over manipulation, when you shepherd that struggling employee of yours, you are shepherding the should be in the face of the is. And to us all, plead with the creator of the universe to give you an imagination for things that last. Here's what I want to do. I want to spend my days, however many days that is, doing things that I'll get to do in the new heavens and the new earth. I want to do that today. And you can't do any of this. I don't even know that you could grasp it or understand it or feel it or wrestle with it unless you believe like Simeon. So, 3, believe like Simeon. The third takeaway is simply an invitation. It's an invitation to long for his presence, to long for the consolation of everything that is broken. I'm so tired of seeing my wife suffer. To long to see truth uncovered. Have you bowed before the Lord? Have you taken up Jesus in your arms and welcomed your own death? Maybe you don't believe in him. I pray that the Holy Spirit would move in you. At the end of the service, when it's like done, we will have a few of our church's elders down front, and I will plead with you, if I could, like Isaiah when he said this, seek the Lord while he may be found, call on him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake their way and the unrighteous person their thoughts. Let them return to the Lord, that he may have compassion on them Let them return to our God. Listen, for he will pardon you. Not a little, not some of the things, not the like little stuff, and hold the big stuff against you. He pardons you all the way with abundance and with care. So I don't need to convince you to bend your ear. We're going to sing that in a second. Your ear is bent. If your heart is stirred, respond to his calling. If you don't know what to say, this is like, just say this. Walk up to an elder after the service and just say this. I'm responding to his calling. Jesus came for you, friend. We will light candles. The service will be over. Then just respond to his calling. They're going to be up here somewhere. Some of them look like elders. But if they're standing down here, they probably are. Don't delay. We're going to sing in a second the Christmas doxology. For those of you who haven't been here this month, at the ending of every service, we've sung a song that I wrote called A Christmas Doxology, and I just took the melody of the doxology that the church has been singing for hundreds of years, and I rewrote the words for Advent. I think they're neat. It says this: Praise God who came in infant form, who bore our sins and birthed our joy, who came to us with no rapport, nobody, born to no one in a boring town. O God of Jacob, baby boy. Praise God who carved in wood a hearth, this thing that Joseph did. It was tecton. It's just a maker, a builder. And some say we assign what he did to what Jesus did. And so people have just over the years thought that he was a woodworker, maybe carpenter. It's not quite obvious. There aren't a lot of trees in that area. But I think it would be interesting if he were doing anything. A stonemason, maybe. I report, you decide. Who laid down tools to mold our heart, who walked among us, never apart, Emmanuel, with no regard. He didn't regard your status. He didn't regard where you're from. He didn't regard who your parents are or how much money you have or where you work, or how many kids you have, or how creative or how attractive you are. Emmanuel is God with us. Praise God whose bitter death was laid on Jesus' name, sin turned away. Who rose as humbly as he came, O Prince of Heaven, be our fame. Praise God who left his spirit here, the word spirit near, the word of God made flesh and here. Who heaven sent, so bend your ear. Be honor, glory, year by year. One of the more unique moments of the year is the candle lighting. And we're going to light these candles in silence. And I want you to visualize, use this as a visual cue, a visual example of Christ's light coming, and starting, and spreading to all the nations. When you see the light spread from one to another, think of you loving your neighbor. Think of you praying for a missionary. Think of you becoming a missionary. Think of you choosing your spouse over yourself. Think of shepherding your kids instead of what we all do. Just yell at them. Think of that light, of his light spreading throughout the world. Your home, your city. Imagine this, his light, his food being shared among the people, the feeding of the 5,000, this smallness becoming this abundantness spread throughout the people. I want us to imagine that we get to participate in this spreading of good tidings and great joy. Then, under the symbolic and full light, the lights are all going to turn off. The trees will be on. These candles will be lit. Screens will be off. Under this full work, or full light of his work among us, we will praise him and sing the Christmas doxology together, and then we'll go.